Welcome to the Seller Insights Hot Seat. This is a series where we dive into an Amazon seller problem we want to solve with the help of an expert guest, where we ask focused questions around a specific topic and perhaps take an over-the-shoulder look at strategies and tactics to solve our common problems. A quick shout out for Zonguru. Zonguru is an all-in-one toolset for Amazon private label sellers, a world-class, powerful toolset to help you scale through data insights and automation. Check us out at zonguru.com and start your free trial. If you want to connect with us on social channels, check us out at Zonguru for Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. Check us out right now at Zonguru. I am stoked to have Adrian Johnson all the way from Sydney with us from, and he's a co-founder of Unibrands, which is an aggregator in the space specifically around the Asia Pacific area, which is super cool and interesting. And I've got a bunch of questions to ask you there, but welcome Adrian. Good to have you on.
Great to be here. Thanks, John, for having me.
Yeah. And thanks for jumping on. And we just caught up a little bit before this, but you're obviously based in Sydney, you know, originally from London, the UK, or just outside of there. But you know Zonguru well, and you also know Reliable Education well, and Adam Hudson, and obviously brands that are coming from that side. So there's definitely a good universe alignment there, super cool to hear.
Yeah, we've been following the Reliable Education and Zonguru very closely. In Australia, the Reliable Education community is a force of nature within the Amazon world, and certainly it has a big presence. I think people say, like, why is there such a conglomeration of e-commerce businesses in the Gold Coast? And one of the big driving reasons is Reliable Education. It's really had a massive presence here, and Reliable Education obviously is a big partner with Zonguru and a number of the RE businesses that we've acquired. Most of them will be using Zonguru, and we've had incredible success with Zonguru after acquisition with those businesses.
So cool to hear, you know, and it's just a good reflection. I think both on Reliable Education and Adam Hudson and how they've truly dived into to teach people that, you know, launching a product on Amazon is not just about launching a product, but it's about creating a brand. And how do you really focus on creating a brand that is differentiated, that is scalable, and that has good business practices built throughout their business? And I think that's just, you know, one of the key superpowers of Adam and how he coaches. And you see that in all of these amazing products that are coming out of the Reliable Education group in terms of what they're selling on Amazon. They're always differentiated. They're super cool. They look like brands. They're high quality. And it's good to see that you guys see that, recognize it, and obviously you see value in that. So
one of the pieces that you guys produced recently that I thought was awesome. Sorry, this isn't like a We All Love Zonguru session. But one of the pieces I thought was awesome was the 100 like hottest products, where you showed like, okay, here's a product that like you think is hot, like, you know, an inflatable couch thing, which, you know, now very commoditized, actually not doing well. And if you make one tiny tweak to it, suddenly it's on fire. So I read through that with incredible eagerness. It was a great piece of research.
It's a strong team that does all that research, but that's it, right? It's kind of like, how do you differentiate to better match a need of your customer audience? But the most important thing is to do that without like over commercialization of that differentiation, where your costs are through the roof and it just doesn't make sense, right? So it's those tiny tweaks that make a huge difference at the end of the day. Super cool. I'm glad we connected. Give us I know it's a short expert hot seat, and we're going to dive into specifics around valuation criteria and what, you know, how do you value multiples in terms of an aggregator buying an Amazon brand specifically, and then more importantly, how do you actually potentially increase that multiple for sale? I think that's a really cool area to dive into, but maybe just in a quick couple of minutes, just give us your high level background in how you ended up in this crazy spot of co-founding an aggregator business, which is insane. It's awesome.
I've had a bit of a weaving background, to be honest. I started life as a high school math teacher in a inner city London school for 3 years, which was definitely an interesting / challenging experience. I left there to go into investment banking. I was at Goldman Sachs for 3 years, and then I spent the last 5 years in Boston Consulting Group, specifically looking at e-commerce. And it was really there that I picked up on this aggregator trend that was sweeping America, you know, kicked off by some of the big players in America. And I realized that there was nobody doing this in Australia, and nobody doing it in APAC. So I started doing some research into, you know, the market here, and realized that there was a colossal opportunity for this type of business model and for this type of opportunity in APAC. And so, yeah, I pitched it to a group of investors. We've had a whirlwind roller coaster ride since launching in January. So we had our seed round of funding, which was a 50 million Aussie dollar fat round in May of this year. We've just closed our Series A funding round, which was another $15 million. And then, 20 million Aussie dollars. And then we're just currently looking to fundraise for our Series B. So we've used that to acquire a relatively large portfolio of assets. You know, we're currently 100 people spread across 7 different countries. You know, yeah, Australia, obviously, India, Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, China, you know, Hong Kong, Taiwan. So that's where we're at. Yeah, it's been a fun journey so far.
All right, if you're looking for product ideas and inspiration, check us out at Zonguru on our Instagram channel. It is a pure feed of the latest, greatest products that sell on Amazon and why they sell. Check it out at Zonguru.
You know, the immediate question selfishly that comes to mind is I'd be interested in understanding if you're at a point where you've actually acquired any brands that are selling specifically on Amazon Australia, just as a marketplace. You know, we're obviously so excited by the growth of Amazon Australia and this idea of getting in now in a much less competitive marketplace, but with so much upside as Amazon just completely crushes, you know, retail in Australia, which they're going to do. They do it everywhere else in the world, right? So, you know, we've talked a lot about, like, dude, there's an opportunity right now. Don't miss it. Get selling on Australia. And we've got people inside of our team, as well as, you know, obviously our customers who are selling on Amazon Australia. And it's just like, it's so easy in comparison and with a lot of upside and, you know, getting bestseller badges and just, it's just like being back in 2014, you know? So I'm interested, you know, in that portfolio, you've obviously bought brands on Amazon.com and APAC and everywhere else, but have you kind of acquired or at least following some brands that are on Amazon Australia right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And you're absolutely right about the growth. I mean, so I think Amazon it currently has 4 big fulfillment centers. They're just opening another 2, one outside Sydney and one outside Melbourne. The one outside Sydney, I believe, is just open. It's the biggest fulfillment center in the Southern Hemisphere, fully robotically automated. Amazon's going to totally crush us, crush Australia from an e-commerce perspective. But so some of the brands, so at the moment, the majority of the sales of the brands we bought is to the US. The reason why is because even though Amazon's growing in Australia, it's the market size in Australia is less than 1% of the market size in America. So that's where the majority of sales are. But some of the brands are selling in Australia. So one of the brands we bought has 10% of the sales in Australia and 5% of sales in the UK. The very first thing that we do after acquisition of a brand, particularly if there's some Australian connection, is we'll bring it to Australia. So we've just acquired Sam Richards' business. Sam Richards is a 15-year-old based in the Gold Coast who built a $1 million business in 2 years. Very impressive story. But even though he's based in the Gold Coast, he only sells to the US. And so immediately we've brought it to Australia.
Yeah, no, such a cool story on Sam. And obviously, you know, I was there when we kind of pitched that idea and we've helped guide him along and just followed him closely and, you know, and know him well and his dad. And it's just an awesome story. So, you know, as the saying goes, if Sam can do it, you know, there's no excuse for anybody else not to do it, right? So it's awesome. Look, so you know, with this expert hot seat, I think it'll be really interesting to talk about. I think valuation, right? And everyone's like, okay, well, you know, again, horror stories. Hey, you know, this aggregator X, whatever, they're only giving me this. You know, this multiple, you know, is that right? Could I get more? You know, how to approach that, you know, how to start to engage them? How do we get that multiple higher? So, you know, at a high level, I think for this audience, just like kind of explain like multiples and how you look at it and what's the average on that. And then more importantly, when is the right timing and how do you get there so you can get the max multiple out of the sale?
Yeah, sure. So the way we look at valuation is that the valuation is derived of two components. So it's the valuation is equal to the profit times the multiple, and the profit and the multiple are treated relatively separately. So the way that we calculate the profit, there are lots of different metrics for profit that people use. You might have heard of, you know, EBITDA or EBIT or net profit or, you know, operating profit. The metric that we use is called SDE, which stands for seller's discretionary earning. And It's an extremely simple calculation. It's your Amazon revenue minus your Amazon fulfillment costs, minus your advertising costs, minus your COGS. That's it. That's the beginning and end of it. So if you're paying, you know, VAs in the Philippines, they don't count. If you're paying, you know, a PPC agency, that doesn't count. It's literally the revenue minus the advertising cost, minus the COGS, minus the fulfillment costs. So that's on the one side of it. There are certain tweaks that we can sometimes make to the revenue calculation. For example, if you've been stocked out for a period of time, we can kind of smooth out that that period when you're stocked out. You know, if you're having hyper growth over the last 6 months, we can do, instead of looking at the last 12 months, we can look at the last 6 months and then annualize it. So, you know, there's various different things for different businesses, but that's essentially the profit. Then you've got the multiple. The multiple at the moment is, I think the Empire Flippers annual report for 2021 put the average multiple being paid at 2.9 times. We're currently seeing in the market, you know, ranging between 2.5 to 3.5. So, yeah, that's creeping up kind of all the time at the moment, but that's kind of where it's sitting at the moment. So how do we decide then if the multiple is 2.5 or if it's 3.5? Basically, we just have a scorecard. It's a list of like 30 or 40 different metrics. The main ones that are really important to us are what's the profit margin? So typically we look for businesses that have profit margins which are greater than about 15 or 20%. How many SKUs do you sell? Again, for us, simplicity is really attractive. So you get put into the good category if you have less than 20. Our kind of hard cutoff is anyone over 100 SKUs we wouldn't really look at, unless it's a really large business. We look for businesses that have reviews, average review counts of above kind of 500 reviews with an average rating of above 4.0. We look for businesses that are older than 6 months old. If you're older than 2 years old, that's even better. And we look for businesses with marketing spend less than about, for an Amazon business, less than about kind of 15 to 20% of revenue. And so for each of these categories and a whole bunch more, we you know, we give you a rating, how good are you? And then there's kind of a we're kind of assess on a holistic basis.
Did you say what the minimum revenue was?
Yes, so we have a minimum profitability threshold, which is $300K USD per year. If you're a strong business with a 30% margin, then you'd be doing like $1 million $1 million of revenue.
Yeah, and I mean that's, you know, that's pretty much like the minimum standard for a successful entrepreneur on Amazon, right? Like to get to $1 million in revenue a year, obviously with the 20% profit, that means you're solid and you're starting to really grow on Amazon. I mean, and to get to $1 million is not a lot. It's probably maybe 2 to 3 product SKUs, right? And you're kind of at that number. So everyone thinks, oh, geez, that $1 million is a lot, but it's not. You know, it's either one amazing product or just a few that you've got. So, you know, that's 900K in your pocket if you hit it at three multiple, right? So it's insane. It's just that concept. Like it's the perfect. I just love Amazon in the sense that you can be from any background, any education, any age, aka Sam, you know, and if you just apply yourself, you can literally start a business today. And within 2 years, you can probably be in a position where you can sell something for $1 million. It is an awesome opportunity for anybody out there. And then start another one, right? So interesting. And is there any, just out of interest, in the sale process, is there any, does it depend on how good the SOPs are, the standard operating procedures, how they've laid out their business in terms of whether you want the owner to stay on in a consulting capacity for a while? What's the kind of deal on that end?
Yeah, so we're very flexible in whether the owner would stay on. If it's a much larger business, then typically we would want the owner to stay on for a longer period of time. But the integration period after acquisition is 3 months. And so after the 3 months, we aim to have taken over all of the operations of the business. We really encourage the owners to stay on in a sort of consulting capacity where they get to work on some of the more kind of strategic sides of the business. As Una Brands, we have lots of expertise in, operations and PPC and supply chain, logistics, fulfillment, all the rest of it. But where the owners typically have more knowledge than we do is in, the real specific niche of that product, the customer demands of that product, and any kind of like the community or whatever that might surround that that business. And so we really looked to the seller for direction, when it comes to things like new products, a growth expansion opportunities. And then we, we take their ideas and we run with them basically.
If you'd like to engage with experts like this, plus a bunch of other Amazon sellers, check us out in our private Facebook group, Amazon Seller Network. Subscribe there and join the community.
Just in your general experience, like buying these brands, what is the fuel to the fire that really helps you to scale those brands? Like what is the area that you really look to put your focus on to make an impact on the revenue growth of that brand? I'd just be interested because I'm sure
sellers
can learn from that and be like, damn, I just need to try and do that for my own business, right? So
So when we're acquiring a brand, we look for like what are the growth levers that we can pull after acquisition. It kind of follows a similar pattern that we do. Immediately we do like a brand refresh where we put in different we review all of the copy, we review all of the graphical assets, any kind of videos, all the rest of it. Then after that we do a PPC kind of full PPC review and get all of that ticking. And then after that, there are broadly three levers that we pull. So one is geographical expansion, second is product expansion, and third is channel expansion. So we're a channel agnostic acquirer. So a lot of people, might be selling, 50% of their sales on Amazon or 50% on, through Shopify or whatever it might be. We're a little bit unique compared to some other players in the market in that we're very, very keen on those businesses. Probably only a third of our portfolio is Amazon businesses, but we have, deep expertise in Shopify, Shopee, Lazada, some of these other kind of players, and particularly local ones to Southeast Asia. We'll take the brand and we'll put it onto other platforms. We have a relationship with Walmart in the US, we expand all of our products pretty rapidly onto Walmart. So that's on the channel expansion side of things. On the geographical expansion, if you're selling at the moment in the US, the first natural place to go would be like the UK, because it's less of a language barrier, Australia. And then after that, Germany, France, the rest of Europe. And then from a product expansion perspective, there's kind of the easy quick wins, like the variants and the, color variants and, the manufacturer might have a slightly different version of basically a similar product. And then there's the slightly more longer term product expansion stuff, which really looks at how can we be innovative in this space and what can we create.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean that's exactly the ingredients of scaling a business, right? Which is an awesome place to be, especially if the expertise in house. Just one last question on that, and I know we need to wrap up pretty soon. But in that initial strategy, how much does marketing effort? You know, there's obviously the optimization of the listings, but how much do you actually focus on a marketing effort around kind of off of Amazon traffic marketing?
It's a really big area for us at the moment, particularly with the Amazon discount for third-party marketing and traffic. When we look to buy brands, one of the things we're looking at is how easy will it be to create a community around this product? And, you know, we have bought kind of quite generic businesses selling, you know, quite, you know, commodity-type products. But it's much better if it's a business like Sam Rich's business, which is really easy to create a community around, create a brand kind of narrative and culture, I guess. So that's
which is interesting because it is a commodity style product, but it's just the way that it's actually packaged and presented that it can be unique and have a culture and a community around it. You know, so that's yes. Obviously a good lesson for anybody listening. Maybe last thing on that, just from my side, and then you can end with another comment. But on that point, like what are the categories that you think are really the place to play? That is something that is easily sellable down the road once you've grown that on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, the big categories that we focus on are kind of home and living, pets, kitchen, outdoors, sports, baby, these kind of very safe, non-cyclical categories. I would say, and like there's a lot of acquisition interest in these categories at the moment. I would say the market is going to evolve in the near future, and you're going to see a lot more interest in probably beauty, probably apparel, and probably electronics. But at the moment, I'd say from an acquisition perspective, the real attractive niches are the kind of home and living and those types of things. But I see the market diverging now, actually.
Amazing. Yeah. And, just anybody listening, another way, especially in Australia, another way in is like launch on Australia. There is a marketplace, get some of those reviews and then expand yourself to the US and then go speak to Adrian and get acquired. So, thanks for chatting with me. How do people get hold of you?
Sure.
They just ping you and go, hey, we're Reliable Education or wherever, and let's get talking.
That's exactly right. People are very welcome to message me directly. My email is adrian@una-brands.com. That's UNA-BRANDS.com. Otherwise, you can reach out on our website. We have a form you can fill in or find one of us on LinkedIn.
And just out of interest, especially for people listening, but when should they start to connect with you? You know, I'm assuming the answer is better. Like not when you're ready to sell, but probably before that, like at least start the dialogue, right? So
exactly, so,
good.
Yeah, exactly right. Start getting those conversations going early so you're fully prepared.
Adrian, good to have you on. Any last words before we wrap up?
Reach out to me whenever. Best of luck. Just go for it. If Sam can do it, anyone can do it.
There you go. Awesome. Well, good to have you on and super cool to have that connection. I wish you the best there, and I'm sure we'll have some follow-up. So thanks for jumping on.
Perfect. Thanks a lot, then.
If you enjoyed this episode, go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts and subscribe today to check out all of our other episodes.